Greetings, I'm Noel Deer. Welcome to today's Daily Devotion. I hope these next few minutes will encourage you as you seek to learn God's Word and abide with Christ. Our focus today will be in John chapter 10, verses 7 through 13. But before we get there, let's spend a moment and praise the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 145:3, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. We should praise him daily." So what is something for which we can praise God today? I want to encourage you to praise God today for his wisdom. God's great wisdom means that God knows the answer to every question, he knows the solution to every problem, and he has a word for every need. I think of Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. "May the name of God be praised forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him." And then I think of the familiar verses in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." How can God straighten the paths in our lives? It is because of his great wisdom. We praise you, Lord, today for your wisdom. Now, let's turn to John chapter 10. And if you're with us in our previous devotion, you know that we began to study John chapter 10, and we saw the beginnings of this very complex illustration, a parable, if you will, that includes a shepherd, it includes a sheep pen, it includes sheep, it includes a gate or a doorway, it includes robbers and thieves crawling over the walls. It's a very complex parable, but it has a great truth. It teaches us many great truths. And so we'll pick up with that today, and then we'll finish, if the Lord allows, we'll finish the parable tomorrow. Now, one thing you should know, and this is true often in Hebrew illustrations, in Hebrew allegories, sometimes a person can be represented in more than one way inside the parable. And that's the case here. We saw in the beginning of the parable yesterday that Jesus was the shepherd. When we begin our reading today, about halfway through this parable, we're going to see that now Jesus is represented by the gate. But before we get to the end of the parable, Jesus will be the shepherd again. So don't let that throw you. I'll try to point that out as we go through. John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus said again, "Truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." Now, we've said in our study of the Gospel of John that there are seven I am statements where Jesus is using an illustration and he is telling us something about himself. And this is the third of those seven statements. Jesus said, "I am the gate." Now, what does the gate point to? Well, it points to the fact that there was only one way in and one way out of these sheep pens. There was one gate. Jesus is the gate. He is the only way in. The Bible says, Jesus says in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." There is only one gate. Jesus is the gate. No one can be saved apart from Jesus. Look at verse 8. "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them." Now, Jesus isn't talking about the Old Testament saints and prophets. He's talking here about false messiahs, people who have come and claimed to be the Messiah. And he's talking specifically about these Jewish religious leaders who are giving him so much trouble. Verse 9, "I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture." Now, I love that word, saved. It says that if we go through the gate, if we go through Jesus, we will be saved. That's a word that we love to use. It means that we will be delivered safely. It means that we will be rescued from the enemy. And the enemy is sin and death. And when we come through the gate, who is Jesus, we are rescued. We are saved. We're rescued from the enemy. We are saved. If we go in through the gate, which is Christ, then what does that mean? Going through the gate or the door? Jesus uses this this illustration of a gate or a door in a number of different ways as he teaches. I think of chapter 7, verse 13, Matthew 7:13, where he says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by in it." So Jesus constantly talks about our coming to know him, and he describes it by going through a gate. Now, what does that tell us? If it's a gate, then that tells us there's a single way in and out. It's not like approaching a shepherd in a field, and you can come from many different sides. No, there's only one way through the gate. There's only one way to be saved. It also teaches us that there's a point in time in which a person is saved. So you're not gradually saved. You're not saved over a period of years or decades. No, if you go through a gate, at one point you have not gone through the gate, and then at another point you have gone through the gate. It is a point in time. There must be a time in which we put our trust in Christ. Now, a gate also points to the fact that there's a change. We have changed locations. And when we go through the gate, who is Christ, we change. He makes us a new creation. We change. Well, let's look at verse 10. He says, "A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that you may have life and have it in abundance." Jesus calls us to a life that we can enjoy, a life full and rich and overflowing with love, an abundant life. Look at verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Now, this is first an allusion to something that David did as a shepherd. David risked his life for the sheep, 1 Samuel chapter 17. But Jesus went one step further than David. Jesus died for the sheep. And it's pointing to the fact that he died on the cross for us. He died as our substitute in order to rescue us from the penalty of sin. Look at verses 12 and 13. "The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd, doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep." He says this isn't a task or a job for Jesus. You might hire somebody to take care of the sheep, but as soon as there's a problem, they're going to flee. No, Jesus cares for us. We are the apple of his eye, and Jesus will protect us and never abandon us. He is our shepherd. Now, what does this passage teach us? There are a number of things that we could point to, but let me point to this. It said in verse 11 that he is the good shepherd. The good shepherd. The good shepherd, he provides safety for us. He provides guidance for us. The good shepherd would guide the sheep. He provides sustenance for our strength. He provides his presence for us and comforts us. He is the good shepherd. Let us look to follow the good shepherd. I want to end by just giving you an encouragement for Thanksgiving. I try each day to give you at least one thing that you can especially thank God for today. And today I want to encourage you to thank God for your country, for your freedom, especially the freedom to worship and serve the Lord. That's a great blessing. Thank the Lord today for that. Friends, thanks for watching or listening today. If you're on YouTube, please hit the like and subscribe buttons. On your favorite podcasting app, just search for Pastor Noel's Daily Devotions. I hope you have a great day as you endeavor to abide in Christ.